ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट 2। नहि अस्यार्थ सुरगणैः साक्षानि श्रेष्यात्मनः नैवासुरेभ्यो विद्वेषो नोद्वेगच्चागुणस्य हि। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। Lord Vishnu himself, the supreme personality of Godhead, is a reservoir of all pleasure. Therefore, what benefit would he derive from siding with the demigods? What interest would he fulfill in this way? Since the Lord is transcendental, why should he fear the asuras? And how could he be envious of them? Purport. We should always remember the distinction between spiritual and material. That which is material is infected by material qualities. But these qualities cannot touch that which is spiritual or transcendental. Krishna is absolute, whether he is in the material world or spiritual world. When we see partiality in Krishna, this vision is due to his external energy. Otherwise, how could his enemies attain salvation after being killed by him? Everyone who deals with the Supreme Personality of Godhead gradually acquires the qualities of the Lord. The more one advances in spiritual consciousness, the less he is affected by the duality of material qualities. The Supreme Lord, therefore, must certainly be freed from these qualities. His enmity and friendship are external features presented by the material energy. He is always transcendental. He is absolute, whether he kills or bestows his favor. Envy and friendship arise in one who is imperfect. We fear our enemies because in the material world we are always in need of help. The Lord, however, does not need anyone's help, for he is Atmarama. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter 26 verse, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tataham bhakti upahritam ashnami prayatatmanaha. If a devotee offers me with devotion a little leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I shall accept it. Why does the Lord say this? Is he dependent on the offering of the devotee? He is not actually dependent, but he likes to be dependent upon his devotees. This is his mercy. Similarly, he does not fear the asuras. Thus, there is no question of partiality in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. So we are continuing the seventh canto, beginning of the seventh canto, which is next to Krishna Leela in Srimad Bhagavatam. The seventh canto unfolds Narsingha Leela, which is the largest, next to Krishna Leela in tenth canto. So in the before Sukadeva Goswami going to narrate the pastimes of falling of Jaya and Vijay, then apparent appearance of Narsingha Dev, there is a question put forward by Parikshit Maharaj. Because just before this episode, we learned that Kashyapa Muni had two wives, Diti and Aditi. So the sons of Diti are called Daityas and the sons of Aditi are called Adityas, or demons and demigods. So basically both of them are from one family. So again and again Lord takes a side of the demigods who are the sons of Aditi and always killing them, punishing the demons. So Parikshit Maharaj, for the sake of us, is putting forward a question that Lord is supposed to be transcendental, is supposed to be impartial in his personality, but why we are seeing here the Lord is partially inclined towards the devotees? Is it that Lord is fearing from the demons, or is it that he has only love for the demigods, not for the demons? In this way, many questions are arised. So we see in the Western understanding, or even in Christianity or Islam, any other religions, they consider Lord to be the supreme, but they say there is an equally competent party against the Lord. They may call it Satan or some other names. So they say that the Lord and the Satan are fighting. Sometimes Satan wins also. So in this way, they keep the Satan, or what we call Maya, and Lord to be an inimical towards each other. And we also see that Maya, or the illusory potency of the Lord, is an obstacle in the path of devotional service. But Srimad Bhagavatam clearly explains that Lord cannot be having anybody equal to him, or anybody to the effect of his competitor. So Maya, or the Satan in the local language, is actually a servant of Krishna. When Vyasadeva in his meditation saw bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite male apashyat purusham purnam mayam chatatapashrayam. So Vyasadeva saw purusham purnam. In his mind he saw Krishna, the Supreme Lord, but he did not see only Krishna, but Vyasadeva also saw Maya. And he did not see Maya and Krishna separately. He saw Krishna and Maya, but what is the position of Maya? Tat apashrayam. Maya has taken shelter of Krishna. So even though Maya put forward so much of obstacles to reach Krishna, she is actually a servant of Krishna. Just like a devotee gave the example, just like in a football game, both parties are fighting with each other to put the ball in the opposite goalpost. But in the game of Krishna, Maya and Krishna, both of them working together towards the same direction. It's not that they're opponent parties. Just like the example given, if a donkey has to be moved towards destination, two ways the donkey can be moved forward. One is that the washerman shows the carrot, throws some grass, you know, pats it, please come, lovingly he does. But sometimes the donkey, if it is full stomach, may not move. So the washerman also takes to another process. He takes a stick, goes behind the donkey and gives few slaps. So when the donkey gets the pain, then it goes forward also. So similarly, Krishna, through his merciful compassion, he does so much lovingly for us so that we'll turn towards him and come back to his abode. But it is not so easy. Many people just cannot hear Krishna's loving words. So they have to be practically kicked out of this place. So Krishna engages the Maya potency and makes the people realize that this place is not a fit place. Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita says that dukkhalayam mashashvatam. This material world is dukkhalayam, ashashvatam, temporary and full of miseries. And Krishna also engages maya potency just so that those who are not able to hear Krishna's loving words will be realized at one point of time that I need real happiness. That's available in Krishna's shelter. In this way, there is no question of enmity between Krishna and Maya. So Krishna is a Supreme Lord and everyone, Ekaleshwara Krishna Arasabhavritya. Krishna is the only Supreme Lord and everyone else is his servant, including the Maya. Or also, in a constitutional position, even the demons are actually in their original position a servant of Krishna. So then, if this is the case, the question is put forward with Parikshit Maharaj. If that is the case, Lord is a supreme compassionate being, why is he taking partiality? You should be merciful to others. This question is put forward by so many philosophers and so many thinkers. Many of these questions cannot be even answered by other than those who are Vedic followers. If God is all good, is all merciful, why some are born in a very good family, rich family, and some are born in a slum area? Did any money? So what is the reason of different births? Is it God is partial? So this question has been asked to people other than the Vedic followers. They cannot answer. Their concept is only one life. And those who are follow, their process will go to heaven, others will go to hell for eternity, eternal damnation. But Bhagavatam answers. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking a crucial question. Why the Lord is partial? In fact, this question was also once asked by one of the devotees of the Lord. It so happened in the spiritual world of Vaikuntha, the whole festivities are taking place. The music is going on, the chanting of the Vedic hymns are going on, the arati of the Lord is going on. But Lakshmi, who is sitting with Narayan in the Vaikuntha, suddenly she becomes very unhappy. So she turns towards Lord Narayan and in a very unpleasing way, a very sad mood, she was not participating in the festival. So Narayan looked at Lakshmi and asked her that, my dear Lakshmi, the Vaikuntha is not a place of misery or sorrow or anxiety. So why are you feeling very bad and morose? This is not the place of such calamities. Why are you feeling very bad? So Lakshmi told that I am seeing a contradictory picture in my mind. I am feeling very bad to see this. So Narayan asked, what is the problem? So she said, I am seeing a river is flowing, filled with water. But one side of the river is beautiful harvest, beautiful trees, with full of fruits and flowers, and field filled with grains about to be harvested. But on the other side of the river, I am seeing that it is completely dry land, and no fruits, no flowers, no creepers, not even a single grass. It is so dry. So how is it possible one river, both sides, should be equally flourishing? But one side we see it is flourish, another side is not so dry. So Narayana asks, what do you mean by it? So she says, the Viraja River, on one side of the Viraja River we see that the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, is completely flourishing. All the devotees are in bliss with the Lord. They are worshipping the Lord. And everybody is in so much a blissful atmosphere. But on the other side of the Viraja River, the material world, people are suffering. They have forgotten you. And this suffering is taking place, but how still you can be blissful? So it looks like, I can't tell that you are not capable of bringing them back, because I know you are the Supreme Lord. You got all potencies. But at the same time, is it that, are you not merciful to them? Are you partial to one side, not to the other side? So I'm not able to understand, my dear Lord. Why are you behaving like this? So then the Lord replies to ensconced. So Lord tells, my dear Devi, it's not that I'm not doing anything for them. In fact, first of all, for this living entity suffering in the material world, I have given them the body, the human body. And not only gave the human body, I gave the manuals how to use this human machine in the form of shastras. I gave the shastra so that they can use this body and perfect their life and come back to me. But after getting this body with fully developed senses, what did they do? They used their senses in the body and drowning themselves in the ocean. Just like the body and the senses are compared to the boat and the oar. Boat and the oar are given so that you can cross the river, but they're using the same boat and the oar and they are taking the boat with the current and drowning themselves in the ocean. So what can I do? And not only that, I also incarnate myself time to time just so that I can attract them. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yoveti tattvataha tektva deham punarjanma naitima meti surjana. That by hearing my activities and pastimes, one is actually come back to me and they never returns back to material world. So I have done so much, but still they are adamant. So what can I do? So when Lakshmi hears this, she understands that Lord is not partial. Then she requests, my dear Lord, if you permit me, let me go down myself and I will try my best to bring them back. So the point of partiality again and again being raised many times. Here Prabhupada speaks in this verse, we should always remember the distinction between material and spiritual. One time when Srila Prabhupada was giving a program, many Mayavadis came to Srila Prabhupada and told Prabhupada, Swamiji, you are talking only about Krishna. You are talking only about Krishna, but see, we are common to all. Swamiji, you are partial. Why only Krishna? Why not other demigods? Vedic religion is impartial. It accommodates everyone. Recently met one lecturer in Somaya College. So he was telling me, see, Hinduism is actually the origin of all religion. So he gave his reason for that. He said, you know why? Because to being a Hindu, you get the maximum freedom. If I go to temple, nobody will ask me why I came to temple. For next 6 months, if I don't go to temple, nobody is going to ask me why I did not come to temple. So the free religion, more accommodative religion is Hindu. But then, when people are not very cultured and advanced, then there are some rules and regulations put towards them. Then they become Christian, Muslim, you go to 5 times, do this, you follow this, you follow that. But Hinduism is a open religion. That is original religion. So being irresponsible, he said, that is what Hinduism. Do anything and everything. So he says, I am very, very proud. I am Hindu. I can do anything. Nobody is going to question me. So here, this Mayavadi is speaking to Prabhupada, you know, Swamiji, you are very partial. You know, you are only saying Krishna, Krishna. See, we are impartial. And Prabhupada said, how can you say this? The Bhagavad Gita, Krishna directly says, I am the Supreme Lord. And Krishna himself chastises others are muda, avajananti mam muda. So we are repeating Krishna's words. So those who don't surrender to Krishna, they are rascals. And then, no, Swamiji, you cannot be partial. You should be open to everyone. That is called Vedic religion, Hinduism. So you are partial. They are kind of shouting at Prabhupada. Then Giriraj Maharaj was also sitting next to Prabhupada. So then Prabhupada replied to them, you say I am partial? You tell me that how many people, to them you have given Vedic religion? How many people you have given the culture of India? You are only holding to some community, some caste, maximum in India. But I am giving to everyone without any discrimination, creed or caste, black or white. I am not discriminating, I am giving Krishna to everyone. Anybody comes, irrespective of your background, irrespective of your color, creed, you come. Krishna is for everyone. It is not only a product of some community or Brahmanas or only Vaishnavas or coming from tradition. No, Vaishnavism is a natural activity of every living being. So I am giving Krishna to everyone. Now you tell me, who is partial? You are partial or I am partial? Are you able to give Krishna or Bhagavad Gita to anyone and everyone? They become dumb. They become silent. So Prabhupada proved that giving Krishna, devotees are also impartial. At the same time, Lord is also impartial. Another time, one person approached Srila Prabhupada and told Swamiji, that why are you building this marble temple in Juhu? So many people are suffering. Already many temples are there in India. So many temples, big temples. So what is the need of another temple? Why aren't you just satisfied with other temples? Srila Prabhupada said, are you married? Do you have children? He said, yes. So if you have so many children, what is the need of your own children? There are many children slaughtering in the street. Many orphans are there. So why don't you pick one of them and raise them? Why you want children for you? So he said, Swamiji, you know, I want my children. And I want to have my sons. And so Prabhupada said, similarly, I want to have my temples where devotees can be, anybody walks and can get Krishna. So Prabhupada quotes in this episode, even though Lord is impartial, but in the Bhagavad Gita, in the verse 9.29, Krishna speaks, Samoham sarva bhuteshu namedveshyo stinapriyaha e bhajanti tumam bhaktya maite teshu chapyaham. So Krishna says that samoham sarva bhuteshu, I am equal to everyone. But in the second line, immediately Krishna says, E bhajanti tumam bhaktya maite teshu chapi. But anyone who surrenders to me, I give myself to them. So, that is Prabhupada's in the purpose, nature of a human being, even ordinary human being, that whoever is very closer to him, he gives his heart. So, Prabhupada said that many temples may be there, but I won't have my temple. Many children are there, but I won't have my children. So Krishna is also a person. So Prabhupada wrote in the purport, Krishna's being merciful to his devotees is not unnatural. This is not discrimination. It is natural. Prabhupada continues, any man in this material world may be very charitably disposed, yet he has a special interest in his own children. So anybody in the material world, they may give so much a donation to everyone. One devotee, who is very senior and very advanced devotee, when the book distribution marathon was going on, long back, so much of books are distributed, and after the book distribution marathon going on, they were giving a kind of prize and kind of recognition for the devotees who participated in book distribution. So they were given prizes and certificates, and this devotee also came and he was given certificate and nice words and appreciation. But in spite of doing all these things, there is a natural inclination that my son is also did some book distribution. He's a very small boy. He may distribute one or two books. If he could have got some kind of appreciation from the devotees, he felt he could have satisfied more. So it is a natural inclination for anyone, even Krishna, even Arjuna, after hearing the Bhagavad Gita, when something happened to Abhimanyu, when Abhimanyu passed away, he felt very bad. Even Prahlad Maharaj, who is a epitome of equilibrium, he felt for his father. This is a natural inclination for everyone to feel a special interest towards his love and near and dear. So why not Krishna? So in this verse, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu, in the first two lines, Krishna is speaking, I am equal to all, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu. So this Sarva Bhuteshu, Samoham refers to that Krishna is giving himself equal opportunity for all living entities to come towards him. So how it can be proved? The Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Striyo Vaishya Sada Shudro Tepi Anti Paramgatim. That even if there is, if she is a woman or a Vaishya or a Shudra, they can come to me. This is Samoham. Sarva Bhuteshu. What is Sarva Bhuteshu? All kinds of living beings. In the material world, the living beings are categorized basically four. The demigods, the human beings, and the animals, and the non-moving living entities. So Krishna is actually giving opportunity for all these living beings to come towards him. And within this, there are categories. Within the demigod also, there is a caste system. Those are Adityas, Rudras, and those who are Vasus. Vasus are considered lower in demigods. Or Ashwini Kumaras. Many varieties of category in the demigods. But Krishna says that any of those categories doesn't matter towards me, they can come to me. And within the human category also, there are so many divisions of caste. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Ashram categories, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha. So many different varieties of categories are there. So Krishna says, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu, I am equal to all these categories. Even in the, for example, the Varnashram system, the pure cow's milk, the Shudras, they leave it for the Brahmanas to take. Or the item which Brahmanas cannot consume, like meat, etc., are given for lower caste. So everybody takes their position and gives others the other part. So there is a discrimination, low and high, from our point of view. So Prabhupada said, from our point of view, there is discrimination. But from Krishna's point of view, he gives equal opportunity to everyone. So that's why, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu. Name Dveshi Na Priyaha. Dvesha means that I envy or I don't accept them. So the envy, Krishna says, that even if they are born in a lower class, even if they don't have any good qualities, born in a demonic family, demons, na dveshi, I am not actually inimical towards them. They can come to me. Name dveshyo na priyaha. But nobody is also very dear to me. So what is nobody is dear to me? So Krishna says, but in the opposite way, somebody may be born in a very, very high Brahmanical family, or somebody is born in a very advanced demigod, having all good qualities. Somebody is having all kind of dharma shastras they are following. All Brahmanical qualities are imbibed in them. But it not necessarily they are dear to me. Na priyaha. Name deshyo na priyaha. But then, who is dear to me? Ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya mayite teshu chapya. But on the other hand, irrespective of these both categories, if somebody surrenders unto me, ye bhajanti, those who are worshipping me, I am in them. Bhaktya, in devotion, whoever is worshipping me, mayite teshu chapyaham, I am completely indebted to them. So Prabhupada writes in the purport of this verse, the reciprocation between the devotees and Krishna are natural and transcendental. So Prabhupada compares, just like Krishna is compared to the diamond and the devotees are compared to the gold. So gold is very beautiful, diamond is also very beautiful. But when the gold is pressed in a diamond stone, the both combination looks more beautiful. So Prabhupada said, so Krishna is like a diamond and the devotees are like a gold. There is a transcendental reciprocation in between them. The gold is glorified and at the same time the diamond is glorified. The Lord and the living entities eternally glitter. And when a living entity becomes inclined to the service of the Supreme Lord, he looks like gold. The Lord is a diamond. And so this combination is very nice. Living entity in a pure state are called devotees. The Supreme Lord becomes a devotee of his devotee. If a reciprocal relationship is not present between the devotee and the Lord, then there is no personalist philosophy. In the impersonal philosophy, there is no reciprocation between the Supreme Lord and living entity, but in the personal philosophy, there is. So that is what the greatness of Krishna. He is actually impartial to everyone, just like a cloud pours rain. Prabhupada gives another example of a cloud. When the cloud is pouring the rain water in the earth, and the cloud doesn't discriminate. The ocean is also getting the water. The fertile land is also getting the water. The mountain is also getting the water. So the cloud is impartial. But the fertile land where the seeds are there, they reciprocate to the rain. They come up. So similarly, Lord is impartial to everyone. But whoever is taking a step towards the Lord, he becomes very inclined towards them. So as a devotee mentioned in yesterday Bhagavatam class, that one should have full faith and surrender in Lord's words, in Lord's mercy. So do your activities, pray to the Lord such a way that, Lord, only by your mercy, you are the only way to my salvation. You are the only way to my source of happiness. You are the only way, by serving you only, I can get spiritual world. At the same time, even though a devotee is fully depending on the mercy of the Lord, but when a person is performing his activities, one should perform activity in a such a way that he is endeavoring himself completely to attain this perfection. Sometimes when we perform our activity, we tend to think, okay, the Lord will take care. Many times people respond that, if Lord wants, he'll come to temple. And they put the responsibility in the Lord's head. So, the devotee mentioned that you perform activity as if everything is depending on your activities. But you depend on the mercy of the Lord in your attitude. So that is a very important factor. So when you perform such activity, what the reciprocation becomes? The reciprocation, Prabhupada writes, that the Lord becomes not just inclined towards the devotee, but actually become subservient to his devotees. That priority is given only to the devotees of the Lord. Otherwise, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj mentioned once that the Lord may give anything and everything to people. You want a house, the Lord gives the house. You want a home, you want a job, he may give. You want wealth, he may give. But one thing he doesn't give so easily. That is he himself. Krishna doesn't give himself to anyone easily. On the other hand, Lord can take away everything from you. He take your health away. He may take your wealth away. He may take your home away, your dear and near away. But one thing he will never take away. You have to give that to Krishna. That is our free will, our free choice. Krishna, I am myself volunteer to you, to surrender to you. So that is in the hands of a living entity. So that is the reciprocation between the Lord and the devotees. The Lord is equal to everyone, but when you voluntarily give yourself to Krishna, then Krishna himself gives to you. That is the greatness of the gopis. The gopis, they left everything. For the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the renunciation or the sannyas is actually the example of the ultimate sannyas renunciation is the gopis. What is renunciation means? Sarvopadhi vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam. Sarva upadhi vinirmuktam. Upadhi means designation. Give up all your designation, including the lower designation of varnashrama. I am a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or even Brahmachar, Grihastha, Vanaprastha. These are all external designation. This is not your real designation. There is no discrimination of sannyas or Brahmana in the spiritual world. This is an external designation. So you give up this designation. That's why Mahaprabhu said, Naham Vipurana Chandrapati, Napi Vaishyona Shudro. That I am not any of this category of Varna and Ashrama. What is my real identity? Gopir Bharatur Padakamalayor Dasa 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 Anudasa. I am eternally the servant of the gopis who are more dear to Krishna. Not servant, servant of the servant of the servant. So the gopis are the example of real renunciation. Given up everything, family, social prestige, even the chastity. They given up everything and in the middle of the night they are surrendering themselves to Krishna. And Krishna tests them. How can you do this? In the middle of the night you are coming. Already married to your husbands, go back. Be with your husbands, take care of your children. But they say, Krishna, you are our real husband. Because when you leave our husband's body, they are actually corpse. As soon as Paramatma leaves the heart, and the soul goes with that, then the body is a dead body. So because you are there in their heart, they have any life. So when we serve you, actually everybody is satisfied. But that is what the highest renunciation of the gopis. So when the gopis given themselves to Krishna, and Krishna says that, Na parayegam, I cannot reciprocate with you all gopis. You be satisfied with whatever love you have for me. I cannot repay your debt. So that is what the Vaishnava philosophy means. Vaishnava understanding means the reciprocation between the Lord and the devotees. That so as a sadhaka, that even the Lord is merciful, equal to all, but the main duty of a sadhaka is that one has to perform his service, one has to perform his bhajan and bhakti in a such a way that Lord becomes more and more inclined towards us. That is in our hand. This Gajarani must be explained that one side of understanding is that the Lord is merciful, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Namo Mahavadanyaya, and Bhagavatam is for everyone, and we'll all go back to Godhead. But on the other side is that the devotee should do responsibility and service such a way that they have to be very keen interest, they should develop a desire that somehow or other I should attract Krishna. Somehow or other I should do everything so that Krishna will become favored towards me. Because Krishna is a person. Krishna is a person. So he is satisfied with everything what we are doing. But if somebody is doing a special service to him, somebody is inclined towards him, Krishna, naturally his quality is that he become inclined towards the devotees. That's how we discussed and we heard Vishwanath Radhanath Maharaj explained in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita class last Sunday that so many different varieties of devotees, but then the Lord becomes so much inclined towards the gopis, they given their heart to Krishna, the height of all reciprocation. So even though the first two lines say the Lord is merciful, equal to all, is impartial, but the devotees, there is a special consideration, Lord can become more inclined or favored to the devotees. So that is a driving spirit that can develop, that how can I get the mercy of the Lord? One time, Soulless Radhanath Maharaj explained how one should read Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he asked him a question that, Maharaj, how to read? How you read Chaitanya Charitamrita now? How to read? We just read sometime, write notes. How we should read? So he said, read Chaitanya Charitamrita in such a way that why and by what activities and by what qualities why Raghunath Das Goswami could attract the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What that special thing is doing that is attracting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Read like that. Go deep, not superficial. Why Raghunath Das Goswami become so much attractive in the eyes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Such a humility, such a renunciation. So, rather than reading data and information, read why the Lord is inclined towards this devotee. So that he can take inspiration that, let me also develop these qualities. And then, we see the Lord become reciprocative. Especially in the, many times the question is asked, that why Lord is supreme? In a Christianity, in Islamic religion, the Lord is sitting on the top, sending thunderbolt or, you know, you surrender to me or otherwise you go to hell. So there is a very large distance. And then within the Vedic system, worship of Lord in awe and reverence. We don't see Hanumanji putting his hand around Lord Ram. There is awe and reverence. The Lord is high, I am his his servant. And we find in Vrindavan, there is so much of intimacy between Lord and the devotees. So when the question comes, if you see outside world, so many Babas and these sadhus, so-called sadhus, they want to take the position of God. Why they want to take the position of God? Why not, you know, some prime minister or chief minister? Why they want to become God? The real reason is that everybody in the material world want to become the top. And who is the top? Everybody unanimously agrees that God is the top. So I want to take his position. So this Baba, that Baba, this Ananda, that Ananda, they want to become God. So it's natural of anyone that I want to be a best cricket player like Sachin Tendulkar. I want to be best basket player like him. So there is a tendency that I want to be the best of those who are in the highest order. So at the same time, if you also want to purchase some item, we see what Tendulkar is using or what his cinema star is using, that must be the best. Isn't it? That's what the industry in the advertisement we see, they're holding the particular item. So if he is taking that, that'll be the great. Or even if some rich man is wearing a gamcha and is watering in the garden, he's doing that, I should also do that. So people want to do something or want to become something where higher people do. But similarly, people want to become God because why? God is on the topmost platform. But then, in the Gaudiya Vaishnava understanding, we see amazing principle that Krishna is Supreme Lord. So, it is a normal tendency that Krishna is Supreme, so we should take the position of Krishna. But the Mayavadis are so foolish, Prabhupada said, that they want to become God, but if you become servant of God, even in your ordinary material estimate that I want to be higher, but if you become servant of Krishna, Krishna becomes your servant. Krishna is driving the chariot of Arjuna, Partha Sharathi. So even if you want to become highest, the highest position is becoming devotee of Krishna, even the material estimate. Why? Because if you become devotee of Krishna, Krishna becomes your subservient. Of course, devotee doesn't want that. But even if you think that I want to become somebody higher, the intelligent is to become devotee of Krishna. Prabhupada says that if you want to become God, but you become devotee of God, God becomes your subservient. And more than that is when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, Krishna himself, and he gave even higher principle. He said, you see, people want to become like me, they want to become, take my position, but you see what is in my heart. So Krishna himself is telling that I am the Supreme Lord, I am there, but I am having unsatisfaction. Why? That I don't know what is there in me that people are attracted towards me. My devotees are so attracted towards me. Why Srimati Radharani has become so attracted towards me? What is there in me that she is having so mad after me? I want to taste that relationship. I want to taste that attitude of my devotees. So Krishna is Supreme Lord, but Supreme Lord Krishna himself prefers to take the position of his own devotee. And that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. So Krishna himself took the position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he wanted to release the position of a devotee. Not just a devotee, but servant of servant of servant of the devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit, he would, when he unfolded his Sankirtan movements, when he exhibited his devotional attitudes, he would wash devotees' clothes. He would fold their clothes and he would serve the devotees. And he would put himself as lowest. So Krishna himself relishes the position of being a servant of the servant of the servant. So the God himself is setting that standard that what actually gives relishment to himself. So to becoming the devotee of Krishna is not an easy, is not something very cheap. It is so sublime, so high, beyond all estimate. In fact, the devotee cannot become God, but God wants to take the position of a devotee. Can you imagine if somebody says that I want to be a prime minister, but a prime minister himself want to be a normal person, ordinary peon, just for example. So you cannot become God, but God himself want to take the position of a servant. So that particular position is very high, very sacred. So that's why in the Vaishnava understanding, to become servant of, the low you go, the more material sense, prestigious, or more you become very loving in the hands of Krishna. So that is what the whole understanding. Samoham sarvabhuteshu name deshoshtina priyaha ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya mayite teshu chapyaham. And that is what Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas have come to give us, to become servant of servant of servant of Krishna. And that will be our ultimate goal of life. Hare Krishna, I'll stop here. Any corrections going through, comments? Any questions? Thank you for your tolerance. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.